thing on our channel.
Sorry, I didn't get the concert recording. No, I echo what Jared is saying. Actually, the quality of the comments has been pretty amazing. The videos and that is making a difference. The rhetoric on social media is not helping us. Again, I understand the frustration, but perhaps if we can create a private forum, I think Mike McGarity has one, where people either in the government or in environmental groups wouldn't be able to see the more frustrated comments. That might be a big help to us. Being in touch with the Secretary of Natural Resources Office and speaking to people, you realize how closely they're either getting reported on the comments that are being placed on social media, or they're seeing it themselves. I have a feeling they're not necessarily watching us, but they are reviewing from time to time to see where the community is, and it really is not helpful. Frustration, yes, but, you know, it's like airing your dirty laundry in public. You don't really ever want to do that. But so perhaps if we can move people to a private forum, I just thought of that recently, that might help a lot. We could see it, we can commiserate with each other, but as I told Jared today, when the last time someone posted something about where the endangered species with a picture of an off-roader, I got a call from State Parks saying that isn't helpful. And I explained it away, but we should be able to have freedom of speech and say whatever we want, but understand that these are also political decisions, and while they're being watched, it's just common sense to be a little bit careful. You know, again, liken it to a campfire, say stuff around the campfire that you don't ordinarily say to, you know, at other times, and you enjoy yourself. So perhaps if we can keep some of those comments private, it would be a smart thing to do. Just a thought. What do you think about that, Jared?
I agree. I mean, there's a lot of work going into this and a lot of people that have been fighting for a long time here. And, you know, I get the same feelings that I'm reading people's frustrations, you know, or hearing them. I feel the same things. It's just controlling our base is probably equally as important as all the effort we put into attending these meetings, writing these letters nonstop, and trying to actually fight. And so, yeah, I would say that responsibility, you know, it's all of our responsibility to, when we see it, you know, people, I take people all the time on private messenger, and trust me, I want to post the same things, but it doesn't help us. Some things do, but not a lot of it. So that's definitely something to be mindful of, for sure. And to build on it, so there was a big win for Friends of Oceano Dunes, a 2017 lawsuit against the California Coastal Commission. This was one of six lawsuits that Friends of Oceano Dunes had, and it was a big win. I'm going to try to keep this kind of vague because there's a lot of specifics that I'm not technically supposed to talk about. But so why this is a big confidence booster, you can tell people are stoked about it. It's a big win because I get done with every single one of these meetings and I literally beat my head against the wall. I'm like, God, we're losing. It really does show that, you know, there's a major overreach of power by the California Coastal Commission amongst other groups as well, and that they can be beat. I know they're stepping stones. This is not the big victory. This lawsuit was related to some violations of CEQA having to do with mitigation measures out on the beach. The point is, we as off-roaders are constantly attacked on technicalities, and we don't have these unlimited resources to fight these things. But the confidence booster is it shows that the Coastal Commission can be beat. They're stepping stone wins. It's a big win, but it's still a small win. But they were the settlement for the lawsuit was to repay legal costs just over $250,000. And I can't even tell you how excited I was. I mean, morale booster 1,000, right? They're just huge. This money goes right back into lawsuits and is absolutely key. Now, the problem with this is that these lawsuits are time intensive and expensive, and the Coastal Commission knows that by delaying payment of such lawsuits, it will hinder the ability of Friends of Oceana Dunes to be able to continue with future successful lawsuits against them, which there are some, and a new one was just filed just this past month. So we have a situation here where I think there's nobody that would dispute that Friends of Oceana Dunes brings something to the table that's an absolute necessary component to this fight. Being willing to take on these really expensive lawsuits, you know, I don't know how they've done it all these years, but they've been successful at it, and it has definitely delayed the process and kept these agencies in check in areas where many of the organizations it's not a good position to take to necessarily be filing these lawsuits, but it helps all of us, and it's an absolute necessity, you know, in this fight for Oceana Dunes. So we have a situation now where Friends of Oceana Dunes, if we as the offshore community owed a government agency or quasi agency like the Coastal Commission money, I can guarantee we would be ordered to pay that immediately. They have the ability with their 9 attorneys to drag out the process. So they appealed the settlement and they lost. And now we've got a situation where they know if they can drag this out long enough, Friends of Oceana Dunes might possibly not be in a position to be able to continue this fight. If they could drag it out through the end of the year, this is going to be devastating. We absolutely need them to continue doing it. And what I see is an opportunity here without getting personally dragged down in, you know, multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars towards a lawsuit of our own as Corva, that this would be the ultimate opportunity for Corva to come in here and make a huge difference in helping out Friends of Oceana Dunes. I mean, if we could help them get through a couple months here, I mean, that is going to make all the difference in it. I mean, there couldn't be a more critical time to make an investment or a donation to help them get through this and carry on, and leaves us in a position where Corva can continue focusing on a lot of other things and doing the back channel work behind the scenes and other areas that Friends of Oceano can't. But absolutely, I think I would like to make a motion that, you know, Corva take a position on this meeting to make a financial contribution to help Friends of Oceano get through things right now.
I'll second that motion. This is Jim.
Thank you, Jim. Okay, so for discussion,
can I please have the can I please have the motion? I need to record the entire motion. So Jared has made a motion to do what?
Jared McLeod, I would like to make a motion that Corva make a $10,000 financial donation to Friends of Oceano Dunes to assist with legal actions.
And this is Jim Woods, and I will second that motion.
Just a second, I'm still typing. Is there a time period? Is there any other? So I have Jared has made a motion that Corva make a $10,000 financial donation to Friends of Oceano Dunes. Is that?
Yes. I'm trying to be really careful on talking about the time frames here. It would need to be in. Let me think of how to say this. I would make them, if you could add that motion within 30 days, that would be great.
Jim, do you agree with that addition?
Yes, I agree immediately.
I would like, sorry, let me clarify outside of the
okay.
vote. I would be looking for possibly a roll call vote on it tonight. That doesn't need to be a part of the motion, though.
Okay, I'm going to ask Mike, do we have any money to do this?
Well, I mean, you guys have the balance sheet. We have cash, so.
I think properly from here, by Robert's rules, it goes to discussion of the whole group.
Absolutely. So this is now open to discussion for the whole group. I'd like to hear from all the board members on this. Speak up.
This is Bruce Brazil. And I am in favor of helping them out, you know, financially, as suggested. I'm just wondering, procedural-wise, that this item, specific item, was not on our agenda tonight. So can we vote on it?
Good question.
Well, the subject of Oceano Dunes was on there, and our rules have never been as strict as, for example, the OHMVR Commission have been on specificities. So we have brought items like this up to a vote that have been on a topic of discussion that it was already noticed on. But we also take amendments to the agenda. So
this is Charlie.
Judge
Charlie,
call a little bit.
Yeah, question for Jared. You know, of course, I'm all for supporting them. I'm just wondering if you could maybe detail what specifically it would be used for. Is this enough? And is there some way we can monitor that, or maybe kind of fill us in? Will that be enough, and will it be beneficial, et cetera? How are we going to monitor it?
Yeah. So the current lawsuits, I'll try to sum it up, and if I miss something and I'm not answering your question, feel free to jump in and, you know, ask me more specifically. So the current lawsuits are between four different agencies for different reasons. There's litigation with the Coastal Commission, clearly, the APCD. State Parks is named in a situation, or clearly in the language for these, and CARB. The most current lawsuit is along similar lines regarding the more recent mitigation measures and closures as the previous 2017 lawsuit. Friends, they've got a good record. Their record of winning these lawsuits is very good. I don't want to say that they only take lawsuits that they can win, but taking smart lawsuits against the California Coastal Commission that in an attempt that you know you're not throwing money down the drain, I think is the key component to this. Because the money that comes back from these lawsuits, because 100% of the money, there's nothing paid out of Friends of Oceano Dunes. And it all goes back to legal. It's really important to win the lawsuits and to try to take cases that you can win. So I'll be vague here, but legal bills are well over $20,000 a month. It's crazy, I know, but it does work, because when you win these lawsuits, the money comes back and it funds going right back into the next ones. So yes, there is open communication, between Friends of Oceano Dunes, between Jim and Karen Sudi and Amy, and also Ken and myself, we're in regular communication on these things. Does that kind of answer your question, Charlie?
Yeah. And, Vinny just sent me a little text too, reminding me. So is it okay if I share that, Vinny? Well, anyway.
No, I think that's personal.
Oh, okay.
Between you and me.
Corva was instrumental in the founding of Friends of Oceano Dunes, 2001. I think it's absolutely necessary to make sure I can't think of a better opportunity to get involved in this. And I know $10,000 is a good donation, in comparison to the cost of taking on our own lawsuit, pennies on the dollar. And I think there's a lot of, we would never do it for selfish reasons. Clearly we would do it because Corva is the powerhouse that fights for land use. But I do think there are a lot of really important factors that I've seen and heard, talking with businesses and our members in a lot of club meetings Dave Cunney and I attend every month. People are really concerned about Oceano Dunes, and I know there's a lot of other organizations that are being questioned really hard right now on what they're doing on specific fights, especially Oceano Dunes. And if Corva was going to do this, what better way to do it than be taking a front row seat on this? Corva being very instrumental with Friends of Oceano Dunes, for all these years, I can't think of something I would be more proud of than, Corva being able to have this opportunity to make a huge difference right now and really help them keep going.
All right. Thank you, Jared. Let's hear from some more board members. More questions. What are your feelings on this?
This is Vinny. I think it's a good idea. That's what we're all about, and we know that Friends of Oceano Dunes is doing a lot of work on keeping that place open, and since we do all work closely together, I know it's a tough budget thing for everyone now through this COVID thing. But we've been financially stable for several months. I mean, every report Mike gives us says, we're holding our own, and so I think this is a chance for us to help them out because they are doing a lot of work. So I'm for it.
Got it.
Thank you. Did I hear Bob Hamm in there?
Yeah, I'm just saying I'd like to know which one of these lawsuits we're going to get involved in, and instead of just saying, "Oh, here, go sue somebody," we've got the issue of the snowy plover, which is a fish and wildlife issue. We've got the air quality issues, which may come up to be a CARB issue. It may come up to be a suit against the local air quality board, and we've got ongoing issues with state parks. If we're going to get in, if somebody has a need for $10,000, come to us, explain to us what lawsuit they're getting into, who they're going to sue, what the expected outcomes are, and so on. But not just, here's a pot, go sue somebody. I'm a little bit reluctant to go in that direction right now, especially since our own revenues, we may have been holding our own, but we're losing a lot of potential revenue sources upcoming this year because there aren't going to be those events where we pick up a lot of money. So, just tossing $10,000 on we'll find something good to sue about because we really like Oceana isn't quite getting it there for me yet. That's all.
This is Ed Stoven. I think this is to support the current lawsuits that they have running to keep them going. Jared, am I right?
Yeah, Ed, that is correct. And when I originally had, thought about this, and I had, I talked with Mike Moore briefly earlier and Amy as well. Originally I was even thinking, with the money that my club raised with Family Fun Run, which exceeded $10,000, which was, verbally earmarked for, to help with the fight for Oceano and land use, that this might be a good time to show our support without committing to something major that's going to cost us a lot of money over the next couple of years. You know, kind of let friends take on that fight and help them get through this little rough patch. You know, and a great opportunity for Corva to be able to let everyone know too that, you know, we're involved. We're involved in something new, and we're actively supporting whatever's necessary to keep Oceano Dunes open.
All right, my turn. This is Diana. I maybe. What was that? Somebody else want to talk? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead,
you're
Diana.
On. All right. I am fairly certain, and I may be going back several years, but Friends of Oceano rejected assistance from Corva at one point in time. And I'm not, you know, bygones, all of these great things, whatever. But when we sue, we're extremely reflective on the process, the resources, who's named, why they're named. I mean, our specificity is we do an awful lot of due diligence. And I feel like this is a kind of an emergency, so we're going to put money out, but I'm not personally not comfortable on any kind of a lawsuit that has state parks on it without fully understanding what the ramifications of that might be for us. Yeah, the Coastal Commission, CARB, all of those things, whatever, but state parks in so many ways is our partner, and this doesn't necessarily position us well for the other kinds of things that we're doing. And I'm just going to throw another idea out there. Is it possible for us to loan money as opposed to donating it? And the reason I see that as a difference is because we're covering the expenses of an organization that we support, but anticipating that it is at this point in time alone, and I kind of feel like that takes away a little bit of the sting on maybe state park type issues.
Good points, Diana. Okay, anybody else speak up?
Yes, this is Jim Woods.
Okay, Jim.
First of all, they've done a great job, and for us to support them and what they're doing, I think is a positive. I believe they will do good with the money, and I also think that this is a good marketing. We don't have anybody to do marketing except for Jarrett, and the people have done our Facebook and Instagram to say we would like to raise money, but we just gave $10,000 to the organization, and I'm not a sand guy. I hate the stuff. Gets down my pants, makes my butt raw. Hate the sand. Hate the beach. But I don't want to see us lose another park. And that was where this is going. The money that is going to be given isn't necessarily against state parks. And it's not us giving the money to fight state parks. And I'm not so sure state parks has done so much good for us, really. But at the same time, it is also supporting an organization that we created. And where did we all start? We didn't start in Cal City. We didn't start in Johnson Valley. We, as Corva, started in Oceana Dunes. So we are financially sound. Use this as an advertising and a marketing. We've done this. It's spread everywhere. We can then go and say, can we please get more donations and ask for donations beyond the $10,000, which is possible. And the amount of money we've saved in the last 3 years, going from 12 Arias to 6 Arias to 4 Arias to 0 Arias, is well beyond what they're asking for us to give them.
I'm 100% in favor of it. I think it's a great gesture, and I also believe, and I'm a marketing guy, I've been all my life, I think it's a great way for us to grow our organization, grow our membership at a time when we can't have shows and we can't go to different events because there are none. And it's thinking out of the box. So that's what I feel. I'm 100% in favor of it.
Thank you, Jim. Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Dave Cunningham.
Steve Kuhl.
Hello. Who?
This is Steve Kuhl.
Okay.
I'm sitting in. I'm not on the board. Am I allowed to speak at all?
Steve, if it's okay, can we let the board members speak first, and then we'll take some of the audience? Okay.
Okay. I didn't know what direction was going. Thank you.
I'm listing all of them.
Steve is the past president.
Yeah, we're listing all the board members first, and then we'll open it up to everyone else.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay,
we have
Mike.
Dave Cundy.
Hello.
Oh, Mike or Dave, which one of you? I hear both of you.
Well, you know, this is Dave Cundy talking.
Let's go with Dave. And then we'll go with Mike. Okay, go ahead, Dave.
Okay, I've been on a lot of the club meetings as far as Zoom and phone calls, and I've been trying to get people to join Corva through that, as well as my own club. Our last meeting, we've got a lot of Corva members. We have a lot of Cal 4. We have a lot that have both. Like Jim was saying, this is a great marketing thing. If I could go back to these clubs and tell them Corva is stepping in and supporting Friends of Oceano in the fight to keep Oceano open, this would be a huge marketing thing for us. I think it's real important that we support them. Because of some of the things that everybody's talked about tonight. I mean, so I'm on board for supporting this amendment or this motion to donate $10,000 towards Oceano, Friends of Oceano, I should say. And I think, like Jim was saying, it's gonna come back to us a lot more. That's about it.
All right. Thank you, Charlie. Mike?
Yeah, it's Mike. Okay, along the same lines. Okay, if it's something that we want to do and we want to market it to the best ability, my first question is $10,000 enough? Do they need more? And if they need more, then would it help if we advertise this as a matching donation and we matched whatever everybody else donates up to the $10,000 limit, and put a 30-day time frame on it and see what other kind of support they get out there. That way they could raise $20,000, hopefully. Is that an option?
Great idea.
Mike, this is Jim. I would rather see us give it and then go to Cal 4 Wheel and say, will you match the donation we made? Because they need the money now, and to drag it on is not doing good. But if we go to Cal 4 Wheel, who's actually pretty solvent as well, hey, now we've got not only us giving it, them coming in, and more unity amongst the organizations and our community.
Jared, hey, this is Vinny. I agree with that, and I think we can, if we give them the money now, we could. I think there's a great opportunity for us to get on social media and our other outlets and use this as a marketing tool, and I bet we could get that at least that matching donation without even telling them it's a matching thing. We could get, you know, the other clubs and hopefully some businesses, but so at least clubs and Cal 4 Wheel to pitch in. If they think, hey, Corva's giving $10,000 to this group, it must be a worthwhile cause. And I'll bet you we'll get more than the $10,000. That's it.
Okay. Yeah, this is Charlie. I'll chime in on that too. I know that the biggest selling point when we're at the shows and everything is when they ask a client or a new member, potential member says, "What are you doing?" And so we can point to Ocotillo Wells, and we donated and we helped and we spent this much money on that. So I agree, it is a great marketing thing. I mean, we're in this to raise money for these kind of things. And I really like the thing of matching or some kind of a fund that makes it urgent. It makes it look like we're in the fight. Yeah, I like that idea.
Okay. Who hasn't spoken on yet? I got Amy and Lori.
Okay. I haven't spoken up yet. So I have a number of different thoughts with this, and the first one is the matching donation is a pretty brilliant idea. They can still get the money now, and we market it as a matching donation. So I know the CalFOR board meeting was this past weekend, Jared, and I know you were on it. You attended via Zoom. Did you ask them for money? What kind of money did they promise, and was it a similar amount?
Yeah, I was going to actually chime in, but I figured I'd let you guys all discuss first. So we can, if Corbett can make this donation and kind of lead this effort, what I discussed it with CalFOR, and they were discussing a $5,000. Now, they're in a very interesting predicament over there. But they did approve that we could do a $5,000 donation from CalFOR. And I am going to try with some other organizations as well. SDRC, I know, had also offered to help out and support here. And actually, SDRC was actually the first one to offer. I didn't even have to go to them. They came to me and offered their support and asked us what we need and how we need help. And it definitely should be collaborative. I agree with that. I think that's absolutely key. And I think CORBA is and should be known as the leader in OHV advocacy. I mean, the work CORBA does is couldn't be more important. And, you know, having Corbett kind of take
so Jared,
the lead.
So Jared, did CalFOR, are they sending the money? Are they sending funds now?
CalFOR is going to do $5,000. I just have to talk to Jack this week.
Okay, and so I had the honor and pleasure of talking to Karen Sudi this afternoon, and we were going over this. And one of the things that really impressed me that she said, and I agree with 100%, is that the solution to this needs to be from the community. So she recognized that, you know, Oceano is bigger than the actual part itself. The issue and the ramifications of it are bigger than one part. Just as when we defended Ocotillo Wells, we told people the same thing. The issues at Ocotillo Wells were bigger than one part, and it was important, and we had many people support us. A couple of things. For $5,000, we have that in a legal fund, in a dedicated fund, either for Carnegie SVRA or just our general legal funds, and we could give that right away. For $10,000, especially if we're going to do a matching donation, I'd like to have an agreement with Friends of Oceano Dunes and to have a more cooperative relationship because they've spurned our help before, and there's no other way to put it. We don't want to, at this point in time, it would really hurt our negotiations. Remember, these are political decisions. And there's another number of reasons why we may not lose the park. And that has to do with making the OHV Trust Fund whole and how they would have to do. We may not lose the fact that it's an SVRA, but we may lose a lot of land, even more than what we have lost up to now. And that they can do without too much problem. They can't really take the park and make it into a non-motorized park. It would be very difficult, and they'd have to make the OHV Trust Fund whole, and it's a mess, and they'd have to repay for some of the mitigation measures or take on the mitigation measures, and the state doesn't want to do that either. The actual risk itself is from the park being made a lot smaller, but staying in SVRA. You know, just so everybody understands what's at stake. Those decisions are political decisions. CORVA, if we're negotiating, which we are with the Secretary of Natural Resources Office, who has taken that over, and I'm sure the new director of State Parks will be involved, we can't at the same time sue State Parks. It just would make the negotiations difficult because we're sort of on their side representing the community. So we want to make that clear. But we should have more of an opportunity to influence what Friends of Oceana Dunes is doing, which we have not had up to now. We don't know the analyses on their lawsuits. We would be helping fund and raise more money to fund even more lawsuits without doing due diligence that we do on our own lawsuits and promise to do when we take money donations for our lawsuits from other people. So we're holding them less accountable than people hold us. And that's a difficult position to be in when you're asking for money for people, not that they've done everything wrong. There's some they've lost and some they've won. The record is kind of more even than you would sort of think. It doesn't mean we don't have to fight the battle. It means that we have some great minds working with CORVA. We've got a great attorney working with CORVA. If we're going to really take on the legal battle, we should have the opportunity to share those minds and share that legal expertise. Because we're talking about a significant amount of money. Our lawyer charges much less than most lawyers do, so we've done lawsuits for, started with $10,000. We did the State Water Board years ago, and it was much less than $10,000. But it would be nice to have a partnership. And the other thing that I talked about with Karen Sue this afternoon is that I had prepared a number of businesses that I had gone to, being a small business owner and having businesses in the past. I'm very aware of marketing opportunities, and I've told a number of these large businesses that there's going to come a time they're going to have to donate to Oceana Dunes, not in the tune of $1,000 or $2,000, but to the tune of $10,000 and $15,000. And I offered to Karen Sudi to call these businesses and say, now's the time. We need your money. They need to be donated to Friends of Oceana Dunes. Because I anticipated that at one point in time, CORVA would need these funds, and we might be able to go and file a writ of mandate. If it reaches the point where there's no enjoyment left at Oceana Dunes, there's a possibility of a writ of mandate lawsuit against State Parks. And it's an idea. It's a possibility. User fees and promises that were made to the Oitry Trust Fund and how it's configured, there is an opportunity there. So if we're taking money we put aside for our opportunities and giving it to Oceana Dunes, we need to have a say in what they're doing too, and I think that's the only fair thing to do. I think we need to be involved in some of the decision-making, otherwise we're giving money to we're not sure what, and there are no sidebars on anything, and this potentially could be recurring. So we could be helping them more and more raise money as, you know, contacts with businesses, because they don't have big businesses that are supporting them. So if we bring that to the table, we'd be using our word to assure these businesses that these are good investments for them to make, not just for marketing, but for a success because we reviewed the material. Now, Jared, I know that's a lot of different things I've had an opportunity to think about since this afternoon when we spoke, but does any of that sound plausible to you? Do you think we can have a partnership of some sort of a partnership agreement with Friends of Oceana Dunes so we actually, you know, formally work with them?
You've got some really, really good points, and, you know, I know we talked about it a bit earlier, and I was also thinking about it. My goal, what I care about is I care about keeping our trails open. That's it. And it costs me a shit ton of money
I'm just being frank here, and a lot of time away from my family, like everybody on this board. And that's what I care about. And I feel like the communications have drastically improved over these past months. I think you might agree. I mean, with friends, I feel like we're bridging a gap here.
You mean they're not yelling at us anymore like they did last year?
Yeah, we might be bridging this gap, more so than before. And I think that's important. And I think collaboration is key. And I'm absolute believer in it. I think all the organizations that bring different resources to the table, and I feel that all of them are key components in different ways. What Corbett brings to the table, let's just be real here, no one else can bring that to the table.
Right. So what I'm asking is for something concrete. What kind of cooperating agreement and relationship can we forge? Because now we would be an integral part of their fundraising, and we'd be playing an important role.
I like what you're saying on the fundraising, but I think that would be a separate item. And I like it, and I like how you're thinking on this. My motion on the table would be, this motion on the table tonight is a one-time gesture of support to help keep an absolute necessary component to this fight, something that right now it is necessary. Everyone would agree with that. We need Friends of Oceana to continue doing exactly what they're doing right now. We need them to get through the end of the year, and that is what my motion is. Now, a separate item that should be discussed and absolutely could be discussed, and I would be happy to be, do whatever I can in there and get this conversation going, would be this partnership. And I think that's like a whole nother level. But I do have to, separate the two, because they would be two separate, entirely separate items that actually, they do correlate, generally speaking, but the motion on the table tonight would not be the same as that other item. But I think it needs to be discussed, and I think there's a lot to furthering this partnership. Absolutely.
No, I think it is an important thing, because there's a couple of other considerations too. If the situations were reversed, and, God forbid they're not, we're very careful with our funds and do a hell of a lot of work to keep trails and roads and areas open. But if the situation was reversed, could we depend on that help from them should they be in the position to help us? And that's what a cooperative agreement is. So if I could ask you for an amendment, what was the amendment I would ask you for is your motion is, sort of open-ended and says, has made a motion that Corbin make a $10,000 financial donation to Friends of Oceano Dunes within 30 days. And I would ask to amend that and say, and continue conversations about a meaningful partnership between the two groups.
I would absolutely allow for that amendment, yes.
Okay, let me write it down. What did I say?
Maybe I would word it personally. Further our relationship, I guess.
Well, we want conversation. I mean, we want to play a role. We feel we have a lot to bring to the table. So a conversation, about partnering or sharing. Usually they're memorandums of understanding or memorandums of agreement. About furthering understanding between the two groups.
Yeah, an MOU would be good, but to become a partner. Now we're legally liable for what they do. So I agree.
Yeah, I thought of that too. Yeah, so how about just...
What we're asking to support and help.
We want to do both. So furthering conversations about cooperation between the two organizations. How's that?
Yeah, I would leave the word partnership out. I agree with Jim's add to that, but I like where we're going with this. And I'm not speaking on behalf of Corva or Friends of Oceano Dunes when I say this, but I don't have a doubt in the world that this relationship has already furthered itself, and I think this could absolutely be a game changer.
Now, I do have doubts. That's why I want to put it in writing that not only are we a money source, but we're a source of information, we're a source of collaboration, we're a source of potential legal advice and political advice, and that's what would be the understanding, and I like Jim's word for it too.
Amy?
Yeah.
Cooperation agreement. It takes away the legal ramifications.
Mm.
I just think as long as we remember that this motion is very specific to address helping in this situation specifically.
It is about that. But you know, Jared, there's an old saying: there's no such thing as a free lunch. I could see them coming back. There's a very large potential that they will not get this $250,000 for another 6 months or perhaps another year. As long as the Coastal Commission has a lot of attorneys and they could drag that thing out forever. So there's a potential, unless we really raise fundraising efforts for Oceano Dunes, Friends of Oceano Dunes. We've always been focused on Corva. But if we really start, you know, that they are going to take more of our time, you know, more of my time, which is dedicated to Corva in securing funds for them. That's why we need an understanding with that. So all we're asking for is to continue conversations about, what did you say, Diana?
I said a cooperation agreement.
So it doesn't require anything. It doesn't say we have to have a cooperation agreement. It emphasizes what Corva brings to the table.
I would not just
a source of funding.
I would absolutely agree with that, and I think I've proven myself, but I think you know that I'm willing to step up to the plate for anything under the sun, whether it be support Friends of Oceano Dunes, Corva especially, and you know I'll be there to, you know, for anything, fundraising.
So let me reread this. You know, some of the connections, Jared, you work harder than anybody I know almost, except for Joe worked 7 days a week this week. He's not in the room, so I can say that. But some of these are contacts that come from Steve Keel, for example, from his time that Corva has built up over our 50 years of advocacy. And this is some of the information I have, you know, that I've been able to glean in the relationships. You know, we're bringing something very concrete to the table. And on behalf of Corva, I just feel that it's really important to be recognized in this, that we're not just a pocketbook. You know, we're not just a purse. That we're very lucky to be very frugal people. As I'm sure that's what Jim wanted to say, that we're frugal and we've watched our pennies carefully. So we have the $10,000 in dedicated donations from our legal fund that we can give them immediately while doing a matching donation campaign. It doesn't mean we wait till the end to give them the matching donations. They get it right away. And then we just keep on encouraging people to give to match what we do. So let me reread this and make sure that Jim agrees with the amendment. So what I have is Jared had made a motion that Corva make a $10,000 foundation financial donation to Friends of Oceano Dunes within 30 days and continue conversations about a cooperation agreement with Friends of Oceano Dunes. Or maybe we should say between Friends of Oceano Dunes and Corva. Is that acceptable to you, Jared?
This is Jared. I accept that amendment.
Hey, Jim, are you okay with that?
Yes, I'll agree with the seconding of that.
Okay.
Okay, we got that hammered out. Anybody else want to speak on this matter real quick before we vote on it?
Yes, Bruce Brazil.
Yes,
and
Bruce.
I'd like to suggest kind of a hybrid of what's been going on. One, we send out the $10,000 check, no strings attached. And then with the cooperative agreement, part of that agreement is further fundraising and help with them. The Friends of Oceano Games has turned down our offer of assistance in the past. So giving them the $10,000 shows our goodwill. The cooperative agreement shows that we are willing to help further if they want it. Thank you.
Can I chime in real quick on that, if that's all right?
Yeah.
Keep it quick. That's kind of where I was leaning, Bruce. And I didn't touch on it, but the policy, essentially, of Friends of Oceana Dunes, I know Corbett has made the gesture to make a financial contribution in the past. A couple years ago, Cal Four Wheel made a $10,000 donation to assist, and it made the real difference. I do agree it should be. I don't believe this motion does stipulate that it is contingent upon that, but I think it's an act of good faith with fair terminology. But I appreciate you pointing that out, because that is a good distinction. Friends of Oceano Dunes will not accept money from other organizations. I can assure you of that. Unless if it is not dire and they don't need it, they won't accept it. And that's not because they don't want the money, but if the money doesn't need to come in, they're not going to ask for it, and they're not going to accept it from other organizations that could be using it for something else. So that is an important distinction. Thanks for pointing that out.
Okay. Well, we have a motion, and we have a second. Do you want to read that one more?
Hold on a second. I know Steve Kuehl really wanted to weigh in on this. Are we saying that we will welcome that, or we wait until after the vote?
No.
Let's go ahead.
Steve, honor South President.
As somebody that's been pretty doggone involved in this stuff, especially the legal stuff, for a lot of years, I think back to the times of the desert lawsuit and how quickly ASA was able to garner a tremendous amount of money and how they wanted to kind of throw that money around a lot. And I remember in the early days of it, you know, talking to Vance and talking to Grant, and one of the things that I continually kept telling him is that it's all fun and good to be able to get involved in a lawsuit, but the bottom line of what I can see on this PISMO issue is I don't quite understand what this lawsuit's about. If it's procedural, then all they got to do is jump through another hoop. One of the things that I fought long and hard with the ASA people was, you can spend a lot of money with Dave Hubbard and their attorneys over there, but unless you've got, you know, specific science on your side, it's difficult to be able to argue that in front of the judge. And so I continually went back to ASA, both in the message board days and whatever, and said, you got to go count plants, guys. You got to go count these plants out here and pour your money into that science, less on the legal side of things, until you got your guns loaded up. In this situation, I understand everybody's position on it. I've kind of been around this long enough to see all the pieces. I know Jim Suti. I've known Jim since he started this thing. Before him was a guy named Mike Bishop. You know, there was a lot of people that have been really fighting it out. But in going along with this, and I'm kind of like Bob, and you know, I've been around. Bob taught me a ton of what this is all about. And what Amy's talking about here is I would think that we want to be very careful that we don't just start handing out money when the you know, probability of success based upon the lack of science that has been paid for is there. So that's my three cents. Is I just look back at the past and what's happened and how you're successful and how you're not. And Amy and I have had these heart-to-heart discussions about this kind of stuff for years, and it's real frustrating because you get, you know, I don't know who's been in, but I have several times in the United States District Court or a state court and been in right there. And when you listen to the judge on these things, you know, you kind of get this feel like you better have something there. So I don't know whether or not the current lawsuit has got merit or not. I don't, I'd love to see a copy of it so I could read it. But just keep in mind that when you're coughing up $10,000, and back in the days when the desert lawsuit came around, let me tell you, everybody was scrambling for money, and I've never seen anything like what ASA was able to put together. They had to raise millions of dollars, and they spent a lot of money. But you know, when it's all said and done out in Glamis, are the dunes really any more open today than they were before the desert lawsuit? Not really. Okay, that's me. That's all I can say.
Thanks, Steve.
This is Mike McGarity. Can I just say a couple things?
Sure.
Yeah, go. Great. Hey, I just wanted to. I just wanted to commend the board. It sounds like all of you are working together on this. I love hearing all of the different ways that you guys are collaborating on sounding like making something work. And the Friends of the Oceana Dunes is super important for that one thing, which is opening Oceana Dunes and what the lawsuit is about, what it's not about. I mean, we're leaving that all up to the attorneys. And we just have to trust that after all these years of advocating and fighting for the dunes, it sure sounds like all of you, especially Amy, know that the Friends of the Oceana Dunes is going to represent Corva well and using the money well. And so I just wanted to say that it sounds like you guys are all on a great track of continuing, not beginning, but to continue to support the Friends of Oceana Dunes. And I think that's important that you guys make that known, that this is a continuation of that support that you've always done since the beginning. So thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you, Mike. Okay, do we have anybody else?
Since it's 8:23 p.m., I'm going to call for the vote.
Yep. All right. Do we need to reread that one more time, or does everybody know what we're voting on?
I'll just read it again. Jared McLeod has made a motion that Corva make a $10,000 financial donation to Friends of Oceana Dunes within 30 days and continue conversations about a cooperation agreement between Friends of Oceana Dunes and Corva. Jim Woods has seconded the motion. Two notes that I want to make is, one, Jared, we could decide afterwards if the matching donation, as far as marketing it as a matching donation, even though the money has already gone to Oceana Dunes, that doesn't have to be part of the motion, but I think it's a really great idea to help them get even more money, and it also helps fulfill the marketing like Charlie and Dave and Jim have talked about. You know, it makes it's up front and center then that Corva has done this and encouraging everybody else to do that. But that doesn't need to be in the motion if that's okay with you.
That's fine with me. Thanks, Amy.
Okay. All those in favor of donating $10,000 to Friends of Oceana Dunes, say aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed? And all those abstained?
I'm abstaining for now. I'd still like some more information.
And I'm abstaining as well.
Okay.
Okay, so let me just make sure
I have all those that the number. So Amy, Ken, Ed Stoven, Vinnie Barbarino, Dave Cundy, Jim Woods, Bruce Brazil, Jared McLeod, Mike Moore, Lori Lewis, and Charlie Lowe voted in favor. That's 11 board members.
I do not vote. Amy?
Oh, and that's either 10 board members.
Mm-hmm. Either should Amy.
Amy?
Yep. What?
You shouldn't vote either. You shouldn't be a board member. You're a paid employee.
Oh. Well, I'm not an employee. I'm a contractor.
Right, but you should.
But
She is also a board member.
Well, that's con.
But the motion passes with 10 board members. Diana, Mead, and Bob Ham abstained from the vote.
And Amy, as president, I do not vote.
Yes. So.
Okay. Got that.
There were 11 for 11, and I took you off. So it's 10. So I can write that out. I can write the names out in the minutes. One other question, Jared. We talked about the money coming from dedicated donations that are dedicated already to the legal fund that are there. Mike, that's what you had planned or thought?
I'll record it as a legal donation. So it won't show up on the balance sheet until the end of the year, but it'll be earmarked accordingly.
Okay. That's just a procedural kind of money thing.
Yep.
Okay. Are we ready to move on? Vinny, do you have any information from the southern side of the state?
Well, other than all the events being not really canceled, but, postponed and moved to Arizona, which I don't really think, I don't want to go to Arizona for the California, Off-Road Vehicle Association. I don't think it's would be worth our while. Plus, this whole COVID thing, I'm still a little apprehensive, even though I'm out and about doing my thing, but that's, whatever. So I don't really want to go there unless somebody else wants to, join in and run the deal. But that's going to be hard to do. It's a long ways away. And I don't know how good it would do for us. So other than that, the only other thing is, speaking of bad news, Ocotillo Wells is not issuing permits for anything yet because the park's still closed and they won't even accept an application. So for Truck Haven, so we're gonna have to play that by ear. The person that I worked with the last 3 years for that event has been promoted, and she's working somewhere else. But I don't see that to be a problem once they start accepting applications. So, things are kind of at a standstill. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Vinny. Yeah, I just feel like I'm sitting in limbo here waiting for something to clear up. And it just keeps getting worse. Okay, anybody else have anything on the Southern California? Jim, Charlie? Dave?
You know what, can I mention one thing?
Yeah.
It hasn't even been brought up yet tonight. I'm sure everybody knows, but I don't know if there's anything we could do for Steve Gardner. I mean, if anyone deserves recognition for things, that advocacy efforts and stuff, I don't really know him that well, but I've been around him enough, and I've worked a couple of shows alongside him and stuff like that. He was one of the best people that I've ever worked with and got to know. And he was like, he would give you the shirt off his back, and he'd bend over backwards to help me with shows and set up and bring stuff and give me pointers on what to do and stuff. And he's going to be sorely missed by this whole community. So I'd just like to give recognition to him. He was a great man.
He was a fantastic man. I know that some of the Ultra 4 people are trying to put together some type of a memorial for him, but I haven't heard much more. But, yes, we definitely need to do something for Steve. That man was just a volunteer extraordinaire. He was just amazing. And he had such a warmth and a smile to him, and he always made everything better every time you saw him. Wonderful guy. Okay.
Hey, this is Drew.
Yeah.
Are you talking about Steve Gardner, the four-wheel drive club?
Yeah.
Are you saying memorial? Did he pass away?
Yes, he did.
I didn't know that.
Oh, sorry to tell you, but yeah, Steve wasn't feeling well. And called 911, and on the way to the hospital, he had three heart attacks or coronary issues and never really responded after that and lasted maybe a week or two. So that's very sad for our community. We're definitely going to have to do something for him. Okay, anybody? Go ahead.
But that was within the last week?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just flabbergasted. I had no idea. I had no idea that he was. When you said memorial, I go, oh my God, is he gone? I didn't know.
Yeah, he is. This is a very sad thing. We're all going to miss him. But yeah, as soon as we hear something about a memorial, we'll bring it up and we'll figure out what we're going to do for him.
Well, one thing is as far as the motorcycle community, I bet they'd be all in. I bet if you talk to Keith Huff and everybody else. There's the Husky Memorial out between Barstow and Ridgecrest, just a little bit south of Fort Irwin, I guess, or southwest. And
okay.
I'm sure that would be something the motorcycle community would be interested in, for sure.
Yeah, we'll bring it up. We got to keep this moving. It's 8:33 now. We got less than a half an hour to get through this. So we'll bring up something shortly here and send out an email about it. Anybody in the north have anything to mention other than all our fires? Carnegie has not been burned. Frank Rains got burned. Most of the campground, I understand, survived. We lost a barn and a couple other buildings, but the vegetation in the riding area is all burned up from what I understand.
This is Bruce. In addition to that, Metcalf Motorcycle Park, which is part of the San Jose Parks and Recreation, I understand it's also closed, but not due to fire damage. I think it's just cautionary. And I've been watching the Cal Fire, and I've been watching the Cal Fire maps for Carnegie. And I don't know where the exact boundaries are for Carnegie, but it looks like the southeastern section is very close. It may be just right on the border of Carnegie. It may have snuck in there. I don't know. And the Connolly Ranch is also located in that same area.
Right.
And the fire seems to be edging a little bit westward, which would put it into more of the Connolly Ranch. And once again, I don't have the boundaries for the Connolly Ranch, so I can't say positively what has not happened. That's it.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Yeah, a lot of people are evacuated. I know five people myself that evacuated. I know two people that did not get out in time and got burned up fairly bad are in Davis right now, but they seem to be responding. It's really a sad situation up here. Okay. Do any of our guests have any comments or questions? Nope. Okay, let's move back on. I have Corba 50th anniversary here. Anybody have anything on that?
No, as the plans move forward for the 50th anniversary for the OHMVR division, I will definitely bring up Corva, but you still don't know because of all the closures and everything else what's going to happen with that or how it's going to be, what's going to be planned.
We really got to get this state open back up. This is driving everybody's nuts. Okay, let's move on. Treasury report, Mike. You said we're doing fine. You set out the report. We're okay as long as we keep bringing money in somehow. Huh?
And as long as we don't spend too much. So no, we're still healthy. So.
Okay, let's start thinking about different ways we can raise money. Just throw it out in an email, and we'll figure something out so we can get through this. As long as we all are proactive about this, I think we're going to get through it just fine. Any questions? Okay, it says approved meeting minutes.
Well, what I'm going to ask, Mr. President, if everyone can go to the link and review. We have a number of months, and just during the next month, review as many as you can for this year. They include both of our annual meetings, the meeting minutes for both the annual meetings, including it's kind of rough transliterations of the recordings, but they're there. And we can vote on them in mass the next meeting because the link was sent out too late for everybody to do it.
Right,
so please,
right.
Board members, remember to do that. You have the link, and this meeting minutes will be added to it tomorrow.
Amy, I looked at that link, and I thought it was very good. Everything's there. It's fantastic. I think it's a great place for us to store that. But the question is, if I don't have the link, what tab is that under on our page?
It's not yet because we're still fixing it up. So,
okay. So
it'll
don't
be
lose
made
that
public.
Link.
It'll be made public as soon as I'm trying to do the last 3 years and 4 years, and so maybe that's a little ambitious, but got a lot in there. So,
okay, everybody, hold on to that link. All right, so we actually got through this. Is there any other discussion? Yes, Jared.
Yeah, I got two things really quick here in the essence of time. One, which is kind of cool, I don't know how many of you guys remember the Corva fundraiser by our double Corva business partner, Divine Dirt. They also own Dirt Direct Off-Road. And they're actually looking at becoming a triple Corva business partner with their third new company. They did that. This Shirt Saves Dirt fundraiser a little over a year ago. So they have a little bit of an excess of inventory. And I real quick want to say good job, Amy. And I know John Kinley's not on here. With the recent passing of Steve Gardner, terrible news to everybody. But you guys did a really great job, making do, and they had some conversations. I know it was in Amy's report, but great job with Off the Grid Surplus, Corva business partner, putting together contingent plans and trying to get the merchandise thing streamlined. I think that's worth noting here. But Divine Dirt has an excess of the Corva fundraiser shirts. I know they were going to send, I'll talk to you about this, Amy, later. They were going to go ahead and send in the check for the funds they had raised. So they printed a bunch of these shirts. This shirt saves dirt with the Corva logo. And they were going to go ahead and send in their donation over to the Corva mailbox. So Amy should be getting that. They have the excess of inventory they do have, they said, has been a little bit slow on the website since after Truck Haven.
So we've been talking about it. They're going to go ahead and send, they're packaging up the inventory. I'll talk with Vinny, coordinate, and one of us will swing by their shop at some point, pick it up, and we can go ahead and potentially market those on the Corvo website. So that's good news. I think it's like 50 more T-shirts, so that'll be a big moneymaker. And then the other thing, I heard that there's potentially a memorial for Steve Gardner on September 19th at Flash X in Barstow. It's a little vague on the details. I don't know all the details, but and I don't believe it's publicly posted yet. But if I hear more about it, I'll be sure and bring that up and let you guys know. That's all.
Thank you, Jared. Any other comments? Anybody else have anything to bring up? Am I muted? Okay. Well, that covers our agenda for tonight. If you'd like to make, somebody would like to make a motion to adjourn the meeting, we can do that.
This is Bruce.
I'll make a motion
that we adjourn, that we end the meeting, and that we can take our masks off and go back to doing what we were doing.
I'll second that. This is Vinny. I'll second that.
Okay, meeting adjourned as of 8:42.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, and all those that abstain. Great meeting. I think we accomplished a lot. I'm looking forward to a better working relationship with Oceana Dunes, Friends of Oceana Dunes, and come up with some fundraising ideas, and let's shoot some emails around and talk and get it going. Have a great night, everybody. Good night.
Good night,
good night,
all.
Everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Still there, Amy?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Who else is there?
I don't know. Just one second. Let me move to the thing. See.
Still here. I'm hanging up.
Oh, Tim's there.
Still there.
Bruce is there. All us hangers on to the final end. Michael Luter, are you still there?
Drew, are you still here? Drew, are you still here?
Yeah, yeah. Who's that?
Okay. I'm going to hang up soon, so everybody's going to lose their...
yeah. All right, everybody.
Hang up.
Good night.
Good night.